Today, as we begin a series on what it means to experience a miracle, we look at what transpires when someone faces a circumstance that they battle between what fear says to them and what their faith says to them. Because the reality is that when we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 1, there is a story unfolding that literally causes Joseph's life to be put on hold for a moment. He's staggered by the reality that what he faces, he never dreamed he would, and his desire to respond the right way is directly linked to his obedience to understanding that God is with us. And so today, as you think about that, I read an amazing quote this week that inspired my thoughts. He said, the person who sees so clearly their difficulties will never see their possibilities, will never discern their possibilities, and will ultimately never be able to lead someone else to a vision that could be accomplished that centers itself on God. So when I read that quote, I thought, possibilities, difficulties, and it's interesting because your identity sometimes is linked to the difficult moments you go through, and the truth of the matter is it ought to be linked into the possibilities of what God can do beyond what it is that you're facing at that point. And I was reading statistically about Christmas in our culture, which is very interesting, by the way, because we live in a day where seldom people really put Jesus front and center by way of thought, and certainly it's not their touch point to move them forward throughout the year. But it's interesting. Listen to these statistics. 92% of Americans say they celebrate Christmas. 96% of Christians and 81% of non-Christians. 73% of Americans say that Jesus was born of a virgin. Amen? Yes. 81% believe he lay in a manger. Isn't that interesting? 75% say the wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And 74% believe an angel appeared to shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus. Now watch this. We live in a day where a culture would say there's nothing relevant about Jesus. And yet the truth of the matter is that when people come to Christmas time, they know something. He was born of a virgin. Shepherds did see a star. Wise men did find him. All this story unfolds because Emmanuel was with them and with us. And what you discover is that as we look at this passage today, we begin to see something. Because there's a challenge between what it is we fear and what it is God wants to do in us. Because for Joseph, he was facing a great dilemma, a dilemma that was overwhelming to him because he ends up realizing he has to carry a load he never dreamed he would. And what I want you to see today is this. When it comes to understanding that God is with us, you have to understand something. It may be at times you have to carry a load you never dreamed you would. But if you carry that load the right way, God will use you in a profound and amazing way. So today, as we look at Matthew chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 25. So if you have your text there, open it up if you would. And I want you to think about what a miracle really is, all right? Because a miracle is a surprising and welcome event that is completely linked to God. In other words, anyone who looks at life the way God intended will realize there are miracle moments that come, stories that unfold as a result of what it is only God could do. And I want you to imagine for a moment. You're facing something you're not sure which way it'll happen. You don't know what will transpire. But all of a sudden, you begin to ask and trust him for a miracle. And it's linked to God because he comes through for you at that moment. And what happens with Joseph, what happens with Mary, what happens with the entire story of the birth of Jesus is linked to the miracle of Emmanuel. Because we realize this, Isaiah prophesied it, and when you see what happens in Isaiah chapter 7 and you begin to see what transpires in each one of our lives, you realize something. He had an intent for us all to experience a miracle. But watch this, because here is the challenge for each miracle we'll ever face. There is always the side of the miracle that fear attacks, that fear comes at us. So I want to ask you a question when it comes to your story. How do you conquer fear? Because the reality is, if you look at your story and you realize the miracle is about to transpire, but you get fearful, you get overwhelmed, you get challenged, what happened? You have to wisely begin to come back to the Emmanuel, God with you. All right? Because it's interesting what Scripture says. And Scripture talks about the key to all of our lives, to every fear that we'll ever have, is Emmanuel. He is with us. Because if I get that key down, if I unlock that key, if I gave you my keys today and I said, okay, here are the keys to my home. Here are the keys to my office. I handed you these keys. Here's the swab. You can swipe to get in the building. Here's everything. But if I didn't give you the key to my car, you could never get where you're supposed to go because I would not hand it to you. I only handed these keys to you. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When it comes to our journey of faith, when it comes to who he wants us to be, when it comes to how he wants to work in our life, it all links into us conquering fear and knowing God's with us. Because the reality is when you get a hold of that, and when something grabs hold of you, and you begin to understand what he wants to do through you and in you, you begin to say, you know what, this fear can't get the best of me, because I know God is with me. So I want you to look at a verse that sets in motion our thoughts today in Hebrews chapter 13. Look, if you would, to that text for just a moment. So just turn back to your right, and as you're turning there, I want you to glean what transpires, because in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, he addresses character. He addresses what it is that sometimes gets in the way of who we are. And then he comes back to the point that should be the key concept that you and I get as it relates to fear. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently, look at verse 6, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? So imagine that the writer of Hebrews, he brings to light that when something tries to get the best of us, tries to steal away our direction, which, by the way, what fear's basis is to steal away the direction that ultimately can honor God. So when fear comes at us, it's always to try to challenge us not to accomplish what God intended for us to accomplish. And that fear begins to rattle our cage and open our eyes up to look at life not based in God's plan for our lives, but based in how we see that plan unfolding. And that's why in Hebrews he says, you got to be content with what it is you have, because what he's saying is you can never accumulate so much that it answers the issue of fear. And what he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll tell you, there's something amazing about that. There's something powerful about that. Now, look, if you would, back to Matthew chapter 1, and I want you to just look at me for a few verses, and let's begin reading in verse 18, and I want to highlight verse 20 for just a second, and then we'll go right on to the text. Look at it with me, if you would. Now, remember that as you think about this, I want you to parallel two thoughts. One is, I'm always going to have to contend with some element of fear. I have to contend with that. And the other side, I want to understand that God is with me whenever I face anything that comes at me in life. And so watch this. When we're fearful, we're anxious, okay? And anxiety begins to direct our step. When we know God is with us, we have an affirmation to move forward no matter what. We know he's watching over everything that we do, everything that we're about. So I want you to think about this. Would I want anxiety, or would I want the affirmation of God at work in my life? Would I want to know he's with me no matter what, or would I want to know that I've got to be in control in some way so that my fear can rule? So what you discover is, if you begin to experience what God intends for your life, you'll know that what he wanted to do, he took Joseph, and I'm going to tell you, we know so little about Joseph, but we do know this. He was a righteous man who didn't let fear have the final word. So look at it in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, and notice that phrase, when he had considered this, and here's what I want you to get in your mind. When you allow fear to just have residence for a moment in your story, you have the capacity to misdirect yourself away from God's best. So you got to be wise as you consider what it is that's going on inside of you. Look on in verse 20. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, I want you to think about the parallel here. Here's a guy who hears something that startles him, and when he hears it, he's staggered by it. He doesn't know what to do, but he's thinking, okay, the best thing I can do is set aside Mary, make this story not be as painful to her, make it not be so overwhelming. And as a result, his own human analysis said, this will never work out. This will never get it where God intends. And listen carefully. You want a miracle in your life, you have to look beyond yourself. You have to look beyond your circumstances. You have to look beyond someone else's opinion. You have to look beyond what it is that is your personal pain. You got to look beyond your own fear. You got to ask yourself, am I going to experience a miracle that comes from heaven? The choice rests in whether you see him with you or not. Because if you see him with you, you begin to move forward. You begin to trust him no matter what. You see his hand at work in your life. You know that he is governing over every step of your journey. You know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So imagine that you're here today and you begin to go, wait a minute now. So God is with me, and all I have to do is be willing to think through what it is he wants to do through me. Because if he works through me, watch this, I can experience something that I never dreamed possible. Listen carefully. Our human analysis should never take precedent over his spiritual direction for our lives. We ought to stop and say, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want to do in me? How do you want to work in me? What do you want to say to my heart that changes my life forever? What do you want to give me by way of direction that makes me know that you're with me no matter what? And I know that you are walking beside me. I want to tell you what you discover. As you begin, watch this, to seek his face in an amazing way, you get the story of Joseph. What we do know about Joseph was that he was a righteous man, and he ended up yielding to what God's plan was for his life. And so I want you to imagine for a moment that we're sitting in church today, and you're facing a circumstance. Whether you're sitting in a balcony, whether you're sitting downstairs, you're facing a circumstance that seems insurmountable. It's so fear-based, it's so overwhelming that it gets the best of you. For example, if you're a parent in this day, in this world, every once in a while, you have to face a fear of what in the world is the culture doing to my child? What is going on? What's going to happen? How are they going to see life? How are they going to move forward? And yet the truth of the matter is, if God entrusts them to you, he loves them enough to know that he is with them and he's with you. And so imagine that here's Joseph, and he has this story unfolding, and it's very challenging for him. I mean, it's challenging because he knows that if he tips the scale the wrong way, and watch this carefully, the tipping point for Christmas is knowing Emmanuel, God is with us. That is the tipping point. Because what happens if I balance out what it is he wants to do in me and through me, what happens to me is I begin to experience an amazing and powerful provision that comes straight from God. So I want to look at this and break it down into several parts, okay? Because in these verses, you begin to see this amazing story of Joseph's life. And as you look at it, I want you to imagine that you begin to see your life story unfold. And your life story is unfolding in an amazing way. And I had an experience yesterday that set my heart in motion. We went to Chick-fil-A with several of the grandkids, and two of the grandkids prayed. And and it's interesting because you listen to them pray. They have a lot of random thoughts, but they have a central focus. They understand the central focus of what it is they're raised by. And it's interesting because both of them, when they finally got to the point where they were getting to zero on something really special, they were thanking God for their food, they were thanking God for all these things. And then one of them said, "Thank you, Jesus and God." Well, I heard that and I thought, you know what? They're getting the story of what matters the most, because they're getting to hear that Jesus loves them. Jesus has a plan for their life. Jesus is walking beside them. And it's interesting because some of them came back to the house with me afterwards, and they were sitting in front of the tree. And if you can imagine, they're sitting in front of this tree, and they're looking. And it's interesting what they're looking for. They're not looking for someone else's name. They're looking for their name, because they realize something. They don't get to open someone else's package, but they get to open the package that's there. And they found one, and they brought it up to me and said, "Look here, my name is here. My name is here. And look what Nana gave me." I said, "Well, what is it?" "I don't know. But what I know is somebody who loves me gave it to me." And I'm going to tell you what happens with Joseph. Joseph has an idea that God's about to give a gift. He just doesn't know what it's going to cost him as it relates to being able to raise Jesus the way that God would be honored, and he would also honor Mary. And so I want you to think about today as you look at this text, that there's a way that you and I can begin to live our lives in such a way that people go, "Wow, this person is in tune. They're not fearful of everything that comes at them. They are absolutely obedient to what it is God wants to do." Because watch this, when you conquer fear, you become obedient. When you set aside, watch this, what you think for what he thinks, you begin to experience his story in an even more amazing and profound way. And so I want you to see this text as it opens up, because in verses 18 and 19, you begin to see that God uses the pure of heart to accomplish his purpose. I mean, what we see here is Joseph. And they before they ever had a chance to have any physical contact, Mary had been told, "Guess what? You get to be the one who bears a treasure that changes the world forever. And I'm going to tell you, God used these beautiful people who were righteous and connected and pure of heart. You see, what we know about Mary is that the likelihood is, watch this, she was born not into some affluent family. She was born in Nazareth, probably not to some giant circumstances, but she was born with a heart to accomplish God's purpose. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. Your identity does not link to what you came from. Your identity links to where you're going. Because when you link your identity where you're going, then the miracle begins to unfold. Because here's what happens. You overcome everything that comes at you. You overcome every situation that's coming your way. Because you're able to say, through him, he never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He's watching over me. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you start seeing that he works in your life, and all you have to do is have a pure heart. What Joseph and Mary model for us is when you have a pure heart, you end up accomplishing what God intended. And so as you look at that, you begin to think about something. What happens here? Joseph doesn't know all the story, but here's what he does realize as God begins to speak. God has a perfect plan. God has a perfect plan. And what you discover is that when we start understanding that, we don't get caught up with every circumstance, every situation. Watch this carefully. Let's say you have a child who's not on the path you want them to be on. Let's say they have made some unwise choice. Let's say they've broken your heart. Let's say that you look at that story right now and you go, man, this is so painful. But if God has a perfect plan, you don't have to rest in the fear of where they are. Watch this. You rest in the faith of where they can go. That's where your miracle comes from. That's where Emmanuel, God with us, is all it's all about. That's why this month is miracle month at our church. We begin to look and see all the different aspects of what a miracle experience is all about. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to downplay the miracle when you realize that the miracle opened the door for everything that we would ever experience in life. There's something about knowing he's with us that is the most assuring and beautiful thing. So God had a perfect plan, but he chose the righteous to accomplish his purpose. In other words, it was not he was looking for somebody who was just a random person. Can you imagine Joseph and Mary being chosen and being the ones that God would use? And here's what I want you to get in mind. If you live right with him, if you live righteously, he can choose to use you in a profound and powerful way. He can choose to work in your life in a profound and powerful way. And obviously at Christmas time, there's lots of different experiences and people oftentimes may miss the essence of what the story is all about. But I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you see the pure of heart are the ones God uses, it makes you want to make your heart pure. It makes you want to establish your heart in him. But there's a second thing. Look, if you would, at verse 20. Because as you see verse 20 unfold, you realize something. God begins to speak in ways to fulfill his will. I mean, he begins to speak in a profound and powerful way. Verse 20. But when he had considered this, in other words, he contemplated what fear would do. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Now, I want you to get this in mind for a second. You ever gone to bed troubled over something, overwhelmed by something, and you tossed and you turned and you were anxious and you were overwhelmed, and then all of a sudden, his peace began to rest on you? You began to realize, you know what, I don't have to be uptight. I don't have to be overwhelmed. I'm going to tell you what you discover here. Joseph went to bed on a night that was not a good night. Joseph went to bed with an awareness that what he was facing was beyond him. And sometimes that's how life is for us. Sometimes we don't feel good. Sometimes we don't understand all. Sometimes we're challenged by what it is that's coming at us. And you go to bed and you're troubled and you toss and you turn. And that tossing and turning turned into a night of lack of sleep. But then all of a sudden in the midst of all that, you stop. And you just pray, Lord, would you just help me rest for a moment? Would you help me be able to sleep and know that you're with me? And all of a sudden you find yourself sound asleep, perfectly asleep. And here's what happened. All of a sudden you begin to realize, you know what God's doing? He is fulfilling his will in my life by allowing me to experience what he wants to do in my life. And so as you look at this, there's several things that happen. First of all, keep in mind this. The Lord appeared in a perfect timing. I mean, when all of a sudden, now think about this. There's bad nights and there's really bad nights. All right? So imagine here's Joseph. He's sleeping. He's slumbering. And in the midst of his sleep, at the right moment, in the right way, with the right words, God speaks to him. And here's what I want you to see. Inside of God's word, inside of our own life story, inside of our own prayer life, inside of our own journey of faith, there are moments at the right time, the perfect time, he speaks to us. And he says to us, this will move you forward. This will be what I want to do and through you. This is what I want you to hear. And when you hear that, it changes how you live life because he shows up. But it wasn't just that he showed up at the perfect time, but he made a very clear instruction. Notice what he says here in verse 20. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. And can you imagine how a more perfect instruction? A more perfect instruction. Joseph, do not be afraid. Do not allow this to get the best of you. And it's interesting because when my son was a little boy, he would wake up in the middle of the night scared to death. And over several weeks and months, in the middle of the night, I don't know if you've ever had this happen, you're sound asleep in a heavenly rest, and someone starts poking you. And Caleb would do that every night almost. And so my wife said, what are you going to do? I said, well, he's not sleeping in my bed because I want to be able to sleep without him kicking me the whole time. And because he wouldn't just sleep, he would kick and inspire you in different ways. And so I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to the store, and I'm going to buy one of those sleeping bags. Mattress thing that you can pull out of the bed. Pull out from under the bed. And I'm going to pull it. He comes in, I'm going to pull it out and say, lay down. And it's interesting. The way he went to sleep was I would lay my hand down beside the bed and he would hold my hand. And he would go to sleep like a little angel. And I'm going to tell you what I want you to see about what happened to Joseph. Joseph, watch this. At a moment when he was overwhelmed with fear, the perfect instruction came, do not be afraid. And God reached down and held his hand. What I want you to see today is he wants to hold our hands too. He wants to help us through anything we face. One other thing I want you to see out of these verses is that he says that you'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. So now I want you to get the mind here what he just heard. He doesn't just hear be afraid. He hears this guy is going to change the world forever. He's going to save everyone from their sin. He's going to transform every one of them from what it is that could keep them bound up to experiencing God's freedom that comes in knowing Christ and knowing Jesus. And I want you to think about this for a moment. Here's Jesus. He was going to save the people from their sin. Well, the truth of the matter is, he was the perfect gift. He was the perfect gift. I mean, perfect instruction, perfect timing, perfect gift. And I don't know if you're like me, but oftentimes, my kids, my wife, others will ask me, what do you want for Christmas? And it's interesting. The older I get, the reality is that money can't buy what I want. Money can never buy what I want, really. Because I want to know that I've experienced his perfect will. I want to know that I've accomplished what he intended. I want to know that he is with me no matter what. I want to know that the generation yet to come will follow him. And when I think about that, here is Joseph, and here's what Joseph realizes. This picture is a whole lot bigger than he thought it was. This story is more significant than he ever dreamed it would be. I want you to imagine for a moment that you stop long enough to realize he's a perfect gift. And in a perfect timing, he speaks to you. And in a perfect way, he gives you instruction. I'm going to tell you, you discover this word would come alive in a way you never dreamed possible. And it would grab hold of you and speak to you in amazing and powerful ways. Today, think about this for a moment. What happens if you begin to experience his perfect word for you? I'll tell you what happened. You get filled up in a fantastic and moving and amazing way. There's a third thing I want you to see. Look on with me, if you would. Look at verse 22. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. What you discover is that God brings to fulfillment every prophecy and every promise for us. Everything written in the Old Testament that prophesied was fulfilled when Jesus shows up. Because the prophecy linked to Jesus' arrival in Isaiah 7, other places, it was all linked to fulfillment. In other words, being able to say, how could Isaiah in chapter 7 speak so clearly to what was going to happen in Matthew chapter 1? That gap of time, how could that transpire? And what I want you to see today is this. When you begin to see and understand and grasp that Emmanuel came to never leave us, then you begin to understand the story of Christmas. Because what you discover is Emmanuel at work in us and through us and for us is what makes our lives have meaning and purpose. He is the one who assures us in the midst of our fear. He is the one who guides us in the midst of our strengths. He is the one who comforts us in the midst of our sorrow. He is the one who meets us at the point of our greatest challenges and gives the affirmation of himself saying, I am with you. Imagine what would happen to all of us today, that as we face something coming at us, and all of a sudden we stop and realize he is with us. He is with us every step of the way. Now, I'll tell you what would happen. You'd begin to see that every promise, every prophecy, everything you ever read was all linked to his amazing story to fulfill his purpose, to accomplish his will, to allow you to encounter him in an amazing and powerful way that gives you a chance to be able to hang on and move forward in a fantastic and a beautiful way. All right? So final thing I want you to see. Look at it with me if you would. Because as you look at it, in verse 24 and 25, Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I want you to get this in mind. All right, he goes to bed with a headache. He wakes up with a dream. He goes to bed with a challenge. He wakes up with a commitment. And so imagine for a moment that all of a sudden you're saying, wait a minute now. God transformed Joseph's thinking. And he transformed his thinking so he would act in obedience. In other words, he basically let him know, you know, guess what? This story is beautiful. Let it be lived out. Let it be fleshed out. Let it be experienced the way God intended. He transformed his thinking. And I mean, if you think about it for a moment. He goes to sleep. He goes to sleep afraid. He goes to sleep thinking, man, I'm not sure I'm up for this challenge. And listen carefully. If you're here today, you're up for whatever challenge it is that God has for you, because he wouldn't put it before you if he didn't want to work through you. He would not let you look at the possibilities of that challenge if he didn't think you could be used by him to accomplish and bring great glory to him. Because whatever you do, in word or deed, do all the glory of God. And what you discover is there's something amazing and powerful that happens when you and I begin to realize that he is with us no matter what. And when you think about this whole concept of being with us, it's interesting, because I want to make a statement, pose a question. Because Joseph wakes up and he follows the command. He follows the command. And here's a question. Do we? He wakes up, and watch this carefully. If he's speaking to you, he speaks to you for a purpose. It's never a random conversation that doesn't get you anywhere. It's always a divine purpose that gets you somewhere. And he begins to speak to you. And he begins to comfort you. He begins to direct you. He begins to affirm you. He begins to challenge you. And all of a sudden you go, whoa, 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 whoa. This instruction is there for me? And I want you to think about this. If you and I, in obedience, surrender to every aspect of what it is he calls on us to do, then every instruction he gives us would be lived out in a powerful and amazing way. What would happen if we did that? I tell you what would happen. We would be living with him with us no matter what, in every circumstance, in every situation. So he follows the command, but there's something else that he does, because it's interesting. The Bible says, verse 25, but he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. It's interesting, because what happens here is he protected her purity so she could accomplish God's purpose. He protected what mattered the most. And what you discover is quickly in our lives, when we learn how to protect what is pure, we begin to discover what is powerful. When we begin to protect what it is that God has put in us. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more pure than the Word of God. I mean, you think about it, there's not an error in it. It's completely perfect. It speaks to our lives. And we begin to protect it and begin to watch over it. We begin to use it as a tool to guide our lives. I got very tickled yesterday afternoon. I was telling about the grandchildren being in my house, and it's interesting, because I had got our mail, and in our mail was an American Girl catalog. And Nora and Audrey, I said, hey, why don't you look at this? And so they started looking through this whole catalog, and it's designed, by the way, to inspire people to spend a lot of money, and they're looking at it, and so they get out two different color pens. They start circling what they want. And I said, "Does your mom and dad, they have that much cash?" And it was one of those precious moments. They both looked up at the same time. This is not about mom and dad. This is about Santa Claus. And we know he's got enough money to take care of everything we circled. And so I kept the catalog to give to Santa Claus' helpers, his parents. And I was so thankful that I didn't represent Santa. Mom and dad represent Santa. And it's interesting because they were like, "He'll come through. Santa always does." And as they said that, I thought to myself, "Ooh, this just cost my kids a lot of money, because that catalog is taking them in the wrong direction." I want you to think about this. What if we read this catalog every day? And we circled every promise, and we underlined every principle, and we began to realize that in this catalog, he fulfills everything that he says, and he does it in an amazing fashion. I want to challenge you today as you think about your life. What would happen if you began to sense him with you today? You began to think, "Man, he's with me no matter what. I feel him at work in me." I'll tell you what happened. Your life would be set in motion to accomplish something amazing. And maybe you're here today and you realize something. You need to be a part of who we are. It's Miracle Month. It's a great time to commit yourself to his task, to what he wants to accomplish through you. Maybe you hear him with you and you know he wants to guide you. And the way he guides you is to connect into what he died for. Because it's interesting, the baby born in Bethlehem died to change the world. That baby was a part of the story. He was going to save his people from their sin. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ, I want to invite you to do that. If you're here today and you want to become part of our family, I want to invite you to do that as well. It's like last week and the week before, people are responding to what it is God intends. If God's speaking to you, I want to encourage you to do the very same thing. This month, as we look at the miracle, we're going to see all the different aspects of the miracle. But today we started with the most powerful thought. God is with us. What a great thought. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the amazing opportunity to come to your house, to respond to you, to yield to you. And Lord, thank you for how you anoint our services with such beautiful presence of your Spirit. The little children singing, the privilege of being able to dedicate babies, the opportunity to give back to you, the wonderful joy of looking inside of your word. And Lord, to see how fear could have taken everything away from Joseph. But his story doesn't unfold that way. His story unfolds with miraculous provision. And so, Lord, if there's someone here who wants their story to unfold in an amazing way, may they take action on that. If there's someone who's become a part of our family, speak to their lives. Bless this time to respond to you in Christ's name. Amen.